you could have a single snack that you remember loving as a kid magically appear before you right now, what would it be? Maybe you still indulge in some of those favorite treats from time to time as an adult. Chances are you had a Girl Scout Thin Mint cookie a couple of months ago. How would you like to know how to make your favorite treats in your own kitchen, minus most of the bad stuff? Well, then we have a treat for you this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 28th. We will talk with a reporter, food columnist, and author who knows how to make classic snacks, and she'll tell us how to recreate them, and we'll share our favorites and our memories. What are yours? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And you will see on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page some of the haul that I made this morning when I stopped at a convenience store on my way to work. I have in front of me Pop-Tarts and Oreos and Funyuns and snack cakes of all sorts. And we'll talk about these during this hour. Our guest is Jennifer Steinhauer. She is writer of the Weeknights with Jenny column at food52.com, a New York Times reporter, and author of Treat Yourself, 70 Classic Snacks You Loved as a Kid and Still Love Today. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm waiting to open up this package of Pop-Tarts in front of me.
Think you could have made them yourself this morning.
I know. So the ones that I make at home are going to be a whole lot better than the Pop-Tarts in front of me?
Well, I think you're going to find them fresher. And I think you're going to get the satisfaction of having so much fun making them, because the Pop-Tart recipe is really just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's not going to be exactly recreating it, but it's going to be better.
You know, among those recipes, I tested these with my colleagues. I would bring them in. I would test recipes all weekend, and I would bring them in on Monday, and I would ask for honest feedback. And my whole rule was you couldn't taste what I tested unless you gave honest feedback. So sometimes people could close their eyes, and they were exactly the same, and sometimes they were a little bit of a twist because it tasted fresher, or you could taste the jam, for example, more, and then the Pop-Tart. But they're all the close enough renderings that they definitely evoke those childhood favorites.
Yeah. Well, you start the book, Treat Yourself, talking about some of your memories. You've spent quite a bit of time at convenience stores.
I did. We also had a store in my high school that sold quite a bit of junk food, and so I spent a lot of lunches, like I think a lot of kids did in the 80s when I went to high school, having less than savory lunches.
What were some of your favorite snacks or treats as a kid?
Well, I really did love the Hostess cupcake, and that carried me all the way through college. I would sit in my law classes, journalism and the law, and I would peel the chocolate off and try to be very careful not to, you know, upset the top of the cupcake. That's a strong memory. I loved Pop-Tarts. I would like to eat them cooked and toasted and untoasted. Mm-hmm. And I really had I still love Fritos. I have a strong connection to those. And I think that perhaps my all-time favorite are the fry pies that you could get. There were the Hostess ones and similar ones to McDonald's where they're hot and you bite in those and the cherry would sort of drip down your chin and kind of burn you, and you would have that sweet sort of fruit filling. I think those are really a wonderful treat.
Oh, my gosh. I don't remember them hot. I do remember that Hostess pie, though. The cherry pie was my favorite of those. But you could get them hot, too.
You could. Well, the hot ones I'm thinking of, for example, at McDonald's, where you had the fry pie version of it with that crispy outside. The Hostess version, you remember how they had that sort of pale, crunchy frosting on the top?
Yep, yep.
For that powdery, sugary, and you'd bite into it, and that would kind of flake off onto your jeans or something, that sort of slightly stale but very sweet sugar casing.
So why do you suppose these foods that were really pretty terrible for us and maybe not that great tasting still hold such a powerful hold on us today?
I think it's a couple couple of things. I think just as I was describing these memories to you, it really kind of takes me back to my high school lunchroom. And I think a lot of people have associations with these snacks that really do relate to their childhood memories. When I look at a windmill cookie, for example, and some of the snacks in the book are really regional, that was one that from my childhood in Michigan. I can really picture my father, who's no longer with me, I can picture him in the backyard eating that cookie and listening to a baseball game. I think when I think about cupcakes, I think about sitting in those college classes that I enjoyed. I think someone wrote to me and said I wasn't allowed to have any of those snack foods, but I used to get them from the vending machine every day after swim practice. My mom couldn't see me. I think people have these childhood memories in which the snack foods are sort of supporting roles or even the stars.
Yeah, and I laughed when you wrote about the windmill cookie in your book, because same in my house, we would have the windmill cookies around as a treat, but they weren't the favorite. I think they were my parents' favorite.
Yes, it's a less sweet cookie. It's got a little bit of a nut, which always isn't big for kids. Recreating those, though, I really enjoyed them more now as an adult. You can really see how that's an adult taste. And, you know, the Girl Scout cookies, of course, that brings back great memories, whether you were Girl Scout selling them, as I was, or you just or somebody who likes to buy them and put those Thin Mints in the freezer and sit and eat those. I mean, who hasn't done that? You know, that's just something that is kind of almost a seasonal rite of passage for all of us.
Yeah. Well, we will talk about how we can make many of these treats, and we will welcome your questions. We'll welcome some of your favorite childhood treats and memories. Are there some that you would love to make today? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Jennifer Steinhauer. She is the author of Treat Yourself, 70 Classic Snacks You Loved as a Kid and Still Love Today. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. And we are talking about our favorite childhood treats and snacks. Snacks that we still like today, love today. We are talking with Jennifer Steinhauer. She is the writer of the Weeknights with Jenny column at food52.com, a New York Times reporter, and author of Treat Yourself, 70 Classic Snacks You Loved as a Kid and Still Love Today. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you'd like to share some of your favorite treats from your childhood and maybe some memories that go along with those treats. Have you ever tried to make your favorite childhood treats yourself? Mary in Rice Lake is with us. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Joy. I just wanted to share a comment that when my mother got tired of baking for all seven of us children, she would go to the Wonder Bread thrift store, which also had Hostess at the time, and buy boxes of at least 100 packages of either Twinkies or cupcakes.
So you've had your share of those, Mary?
I have, but it was a wonderful memory. So I wanted.
And did you enjoy those more, or did you enjoy your mother's baking more?
I enjoyed my mother's baking more. I would give anything if she would make her chocolate cake. She made
delicious.
Yes.
Yeah, my mom could not make a delicious chocolate cake, so I think I liked the Twinkies more. But why do you ask that, Jennifer? Sometimes that it's that forbidden treat that's why we like it, maybe.
I think that's true. I like to bake, and I bake a lot, and I sometimes cringe when I go into clean my kids' room out and I find some, you know, wrapper under their bed. It's not just that I don't want them to eat that. It kind of almost hurts your feelings, right, when you can have all these things. But we always want the thing we can't have or the thing that's more rare. You know, I think as you become an adult, you have stronger memories of the things your mom made. But then, as you pointed out, you have these associations with kind of this fun extra thing.
Yeah, and it really was a rare treat in our house. We didn't. My mom was an Adele Davis devotee and was trying to make sure that our snacks were usually things like raisins, you know, so If I ever got a Pop-Tart, that was a rare treat. But speaking of the Twinkie and Mary's mom buying boxes and boxes of Twinkies and cupcakes, the Twinkie, when Hostess declared bankruptcy, when was that, last year? That's that's when you discovered the I guess our love for things like Twinkies.
That's true. I thought about just as a lark if I could make those things myself, and so I made the Twinkie and I made the Hostess cupcake, and I also turned my hand to Fritos, which didn't have anything for Hostess, but it was just kind of something fun to try. And I wrote an article about that for the dining section of the New York Times, and then we kind of decided that maybe that would be fun to make that into a book. And I wasn't even sure if I could come up with enough recipes, but readers started writing to me and telling me about some of the regional snacks that they grew up with. Like, we discussed the windmill cookie or the Goo Goo cluster, which was really kind of only available in the South, and of more universal treats. And I realized there were so many things that people liked and that we could do that, in fact, we could recreate a lot more memories than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, how hard is it to make a Twinkie?
A Twinkie requires a special pan. So that's the only thing that makes that hard. Now, you can do it in a muffin pan, but you won't get the same shape. Or you can render it in, you can make little canoes out of aluminum foil. But if you get a special pan, once you've got that pan down, the canoe pan, then it's very simple. It's no more difficult than making a regular cupcake. And it comes with a little infuser, so you can poke little holes in the bottom and go ahead and infuse the cream into the center.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the Twinkie went out of production for a while and then came back, was it just me, or did the new Twinkie taste different?
You know, I've seen some discussion on websites about that they've altered the recipe somehow and it's a little smaller or it doesn't taste the same, but I can't really be sure.
Yeah, but your Twinkie tasted pretty much the same?
It did. It's funny. In the beginning, I couldn't get the cream right. And then I realized what it was is I didn't have preservatives, so I couldn't make that cream stable the way you can have it on a shelf, you know, for months and months and months. So my Twinkie, you really want to eat it the first day.
Yeah, well, that's...
otherwise, the cream kind of absorbs into the sponge cake. It's delicious, but it's just you won't get as much of that cream.
That's right. That was the Twinkie was famous for having a shelf life of forever, and so you're not with all of these recipes. You're not doing any kind of obviously it's all fresh ingredients. No preservatives are added.
That's right. Now, I don't want to present this to you that it's health food.
Yeah, right.
Because we're working with sugar and butter and eggs like anybody else, but it is chemical free. Obviously, I don't have access to those chemicals for one thing, and that's just what kind of makes it delicious too.
Right.
In a way, you know, taste it. You get the real flavors of the butter and the sugar and the fruits for the fruit snacks. You're really enjoying that.
When you made the Hostess cupcake, did you make the little frosting design on the top of the cupcake?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. That's actually not difficult either. You know, a lot of things that for piping, and this is true with the little candy dots too. You don't need special equipment. You can just take a Ziploc bag and you can just snip the corner. Mm-hmm. Just really to make the hole sort of as big as you want your frosting to be rendered, and you can just zip that little design out with your Ziploc bag right on top of the cupcake.
Very nice. So, what is your connection to Fritos? Why were Fritos one of your first attempts?
Fritos are very interesting because they're hard to make well, and because you really need the right ingredients, but you don't need many ingredients to get that real corn flavor. And also, what I like about the Frito is that really has the fewest, even the commercial Frito has the fewest sort of preservatives and other chemicals in it. It's just kind of a real pure corn taste. I think it goes so nicely with a sandwich. Of course, if you're in Texas, you will enjoy a Frito pie, which is a Frito bag or a bowl of Fritos with some chili dumped on top, and that's absolutely the most remarkable treat, I think. It's just such a flexible, hearty snack.
And did you say it was hard to make it taste just like the Frito you buy at the convenience store?
I had to work on that one for a while. I kept using corn, and then I realized what I really needed was masa to mix with that. Masa, you can get that in... And usually a Latino grocery store, and actually in a very large regular grocery store, I was able to find it. And that really kind of clinches the flavor.
Yeah. A caller who couldn't stay with us said that his favorite treat from childhood was the, I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Snurkles, a dark caramel-like candy with a swirl around it. He used to sell them for a nickel.
Wow, Snurkles. That sounds like the precursor almost to the Twix bar, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Which we do have in the book. And caramel can be really fun to work with, and it's really delicious. And I can just picture what he's talking about. I've never seen one of those. I think those have probably been off the market for a while. I'm very curious who made them. A lot of these snacks in the beginning, it was a one-hit wonder, you know. And then you have companies like Little Debbie that made a treasure trove of snacks.
In fact, I went, the convenience store that I stopped at this morning did not have Hostess products. They had Little Debbie products. So,
well, yeah, that's happened. There's a lot of, I think it's less true than it was years ago, when you just literally couldn't find. Someplace, if you drive around, you could probably obviously find a Hostess product in your area. But I think in the 70s and 80s, a lot of times some of these products were really quite regionalized.
Yeah, now I have a box of Swiss rolls, which I think those are like the Ho-Ho, maybe?
Correct, exactly. Those are kind of a rolled cake. You know, when I see them, I think of those Bûche de Noël, which are those fancy French Christmas cakes that you roll. I call those the everyman's Bûche de Noël. And I think they also, Little Debbie has versions of a kind of a Twinkie knockoff, right, and a cupcake. And I think they have their versions of all of those snacks.
Boy, yeah, I'm looking at this now, too, that it's 270 calories for two of these little cakes, and the calories from fat, 110, but that's okay.
Well, you know how it is.
Yes.
Everything's in moderation, right? I wouldn't tell anybody to eat a whole box of anything.
No, but I do have to admit that I think that was one of my favorites, too, that Ho-Ho, for some reason, that chocolate and that whipped cream, yum, yum. Marianne in Kashina is with us. Hi, Marianne.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. What kind of treat do you remember from your childhood?
My mom used to make these things called icebox cakes, and they were so scrumptious. It was like graham crackers with a layer of vanilla pudding and a layer of chocolate pudding and then whipped cream. And it wasn't much to it, but we thought it was so special. And then the treat was, and it's kind of ironic that we like the packaged stuff better, those butterscotch crimpets that take...
Oh, I love those.
those
are the greatest. Did you know that I had never heard of a butterscotch crimpet until someone like you wrote to me and talked about that, and I tried to reverse engineer those butterscotch crimpets, and I make mine as a layer cake. You know, I make it as a cake, and then I cut them into the crimpet shape so you can serve a lot of people at once. It's really much easier than making them individually.
I'm sorry.
And that's my new favorite. That's my new favorite birthday cake is the butterscotch crimpet.
Oh, yum, yum.
Awesome.
And I'm sorry, Marianne, we didn't hear what you were saying because Jennifer was finishing.
I think that tasty cake was like from the East Coast because I'm from the East Coast. I never really saw them out here. In the Wisconsin area, but they were so delicious. And I'm sure just like the Twinkie, you know, a shelf life of forever, but they were so good.
Thank you, Marianne.
Well, you can make them at home quite easily.
And tell us, I don't know what this crimpet is. What is this exactly? Jennifer?
Oh, the butterscotch crimpet is a, sort of like a white cake with a butterscotch sort of center right and a kind of a very sugary white frosting.
Yeah, I had not heard of that either. So that's a regional treat.
I think it is. And as a matter of fact, the butterscotch crimpet was one that when I made that in the office, there were only one or two people who knew that and could vouch for its authenticity.
Let's go to Nick in Antioch. Hi, Nick.
Good morning. For me, one of the most memorable snacks were Little Debbie's in general. One of the main things I liked about them is the way you could eat them in different layers, like the Nutty Bar in particular. That was my favorite. But same thing with the Swiss cake roll or even the brownies. You could eat them in different layers.
Yeah. Where did you grow up, Nick? I'm interested because that sounds very regional.
I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan area.
Oh, okay. And I'm from Kalamazoo. So.
Okay.
But it's the funny thing is, I really, just being a little bit south of you, I still really knew the Hostess. That's my association. It's funny how these things became very local.
Yeah. Well, I see more Little Debbies now than I did when I was a kid. But the maybe they weren't even around. I don't know. But the Nutty Bar is one that I picked up as well, because Rob Ferret, one of our hosts here at Wisconsin Public Radio, loves Nutty Bars. And when you say eating them in layers, though, I'm trying to. Yeah, I guess it seems like it's more of a like a wafer cookie kind of a thing, isn't it?
You know, a lot of these snacks can be deconstructed, and people have their rituals with them. I mean, think about the Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
Now, some people like to peel the top off and lick the cream out, and some people think that that's anathema, and they have to eat it in bites. And these rituals become part of the memories, I think, of eating these foods.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you open up your Oreo and eat the cream first?
I'm a more of a dipper. So I want the full-on cookie that can go right into the glass of milk.
I have a box of Oreo cookies here, too, so I'm going to decide which one I'm going to open first during the news break that's coming up, and then we'll continue to talk about our favorite childhood treats and snacks. If you could have one magically appear before you, like I have many before me right now, what would it be? Have you ever tried to recreate one of your favorite childhood treats or snacks? Would you like to know how? Our guest has lots of recipes for some classic snacks in her new book, Treat Yourself. And we will check news, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. All right, so during the news, I had a Little Debbie Swiss roll, and it was very, very good, and I don't feel guilty at all. When's the last time you had a ho-ho or a Twinkie? How about a moon pie or a pizza pocket? Funyuns? I have a package of Funyuns in front of me. Do you remember eating those as a kid? We are talking about some of our favorite snack foods when we were kids that we still crave today, and we are finding out how we can make them ourselves. What classic treat or snack would you like to make or have someone make for you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37. We are talking with the author of Treat Yourself, 70 Classic Snacks You Loved as a Kid and Still Love Today. Jennifer Steinhauer is also the writer of Weeknights with Jenny, a column at food52.com, and a New York Times reporter who was pleasantly surprised when her recipe for homemade Twinkies went viral last year, and realized that a lot of us still crave these sweets and treats and other snacks that we had as kids. Well, I also do have this package of Funyuns in front of me that I bought at the convenience store this morning, Jennifer. I have not had these in many, many years. They are the onion-flavored rings that most of my family thought were the grossest thing ever, but I love them. I just love them.
A Funyun is a controversial snack, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it definitely divides people into hate and love camp.
So how do you make those?
Those are really fun to make. They're not hard, and they actually taste bizarrely authentic. Basically, you're using an onion powder, and you're putting your across a baking sheet, and you're sprinkling it across the flour rendering, and then baking it. And as you do it with some water too, so you're kind of turning the baking sheet to the left to the right, so that it kind of spreads evenly across there. It looks really funny, and then pop it in the oven, and it's actually quite easy.
Yeah. How about the Cheez-Its? What kind of cheese is in those?
The Cheez-Its are cheddar cheese. And to be honest, if you've ever made a cheese straw, which is obviously a more upscale snack for a cocktail party or something, it's a very similar process. You're making a dough ball, basically. It's not hard at all. And it's going to...
Somebody's at your house.
That's my house. That's my morning when I'm making lunches and making Twinkies and having people picked up for school. And so I can make those very easily. I can make those in about 15 minutes. And they have this. The thing about I love about that recipe is that it's evoking that wonderful childhood flavor that you remember. At the same time, there's something, it also reminds you of something like a fancier cheese straw, again, that you make for a cocktail party. It has, it kind of bridges both of those worlds, and I think that's what makes them fun to have, because that's a kind of example of a treat you actually do also want as an adult.
Yeah, right. One of the treats that mom would allow, the Cracker Jack, and that was so fun to find the surprise, of course, too. But I can imagine that wouldn't be too difficult. You pop some popcorn and put that syrup over it.
Well, you're making a caramel with that, and you're kind of mixing it all up in there and putting your nuts in, your blistered peanuts. You know, something else about a snack like that you bring up, you can make it very simply, or you can also kind of, with not too much effort, you can kind of make these even a little more upscale if you want. You can use a salted caramel. You can use sort of, instead of a regular peanut, you can use sort of a blistered peanut that you can get at Trader Joe's or some other specialty stores. You could use a fancier kind of nut and make it, you know, kind of an upscale treat. Or you can make it exactly as you remember from as a kid. You know, it can be reference it, or it can be a perfectly similar rendering.
Well, I hear your kids in the background. Thank you for joining us as they are getting ready to go to school and such. Do they have a favorite treat that you liked, that they like too?
Well, it's very funny because my kids have been brought up on a flourless chocolate cake.
Oh.
And they love that, and I make that for every occasion. And so when I was making these treats, they didn't know of them. They didn't grow up eating these. These were complete, they were being introduced to these in my kitchen, and then they saw them in the store and said, oh, there's Mom's Twinkie. Oh, there's Mom's cupcake. But I think that they loved the candy. They loved the Twix bars. They loved the Heath bars. They're fun to make. It's fun to watch them made. And those are just, you know, candy. Who doesn't love candy, even if you have no reference for it? It's such a delicious little thing to have in the house. You know, you don't often have candy in the house. And the candy dots, which are basically just a royal icing, you know, with food coloring. You remember those that came on the paper? You could
Yes.
get them at the fair. That my 10-year-old loved to make because she could do that herself. She could pipe them right through the Ziploc bag, like I told you. And that's a project that kids can do. And so they enjoyed that less for the deliciousness of it, of like a Twix bar, and more just for the fun of the project.
Yeah, that would be fun. Are you able to get those off the paper? I remember the paper I stick into those things.
Well, that's kind of fun too, right? The memory of pulling those off. They do, because basically, again, it's just a white, it's like a royal icing frosting. Mm-hmm. And so when it hardens enough to stick, but not so much that you can't get it off. You know, it's that nice kind of middle ground. And sometimes you'll leave a little bit of that candy behind, but then you pop it in your mouth, and it's kind of, it's that funny thing too of not wanting to destroy those perfect symmetrical lines of them, and who's going to have the pink and who's going to have the blue.
Yep.
It's kind of a fun treat.
Well, we have other callers, so let's go to Lauren in Chicago next. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you craving right now?
Well, I love Hostess Twinkies, and when I was a kid too, were 12 cents. But I also am a product development chef, and I happen to have Hostess as an account at one time. And I just wanted to say that it's kind of a myth that there's all these chemicals in Twinkies. Really, the biggest preservative in a Twinkie is the sugar. If you think of jams and jellies and pancake syrup, how you don't need to refrigerate those, it's the same thing with the Twinkie. The sugar in it ties up the moisture, so it's not available to bacteria. So that's probably the biggest preservative. And if you were to look on the ingredient declaration, you might find a mold retardant. But other than that, it all came from that Spy magazine article, that humor magazine. They left a Twinkie out on a windowsill, and then they take a picture of it every month, you know, and it just, nothing happened. Well, really, it's mostly the sugar.
Well, I definitely don't recommend you, if you make a homemade Twinkie, I definitely don't recommend you put that on the shelf. It's not going to last there. I'm actually surprised a bird wouldn't come and eat that. But it's definitely going to harden and to mold and to lose its spongy flavor sitting out there.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're not a chemist necessarily, Jennifer, but do you find sugar to be a preservative?
Sugar does work a preservative. If I look at the back of a commercial snack cake, I would definitely, reading the ingredients, see high up in the ingredient list words that I wouldn't necessarily recognize and certainly would not be in a regular home kitchen, that are used, obviously, when you're mass producing something and preserving it. But It is true that sugar works. It's preservative. If you do that, as he said, if you're making jams and jellies, if you're making homemade liquors, if you're making syrups, but it doesn't preserve it as well as the chemical, as the commercial preservatives. If I make a rhubarb simple syrup, for example, and put that in my refrigerator, that's only going to last a week.
Yeah, I have the Nutty Bars from Little Debbie in front of me, and dextrose is the very first ingredient. That sounds like a chemical, but I'm not sure what that is. Dextrose, then flour, then some vitamin Bs, then soybean oil. Looks like peanut butter and sugar are, you know, not the first ingredients, but they're up there. Don't you have a recipe for Nutter Butters?
The Nutter Butter cookie?
Yeah.
Yes, that's really fun. Now, you can actually buy, it's called a bikini-shaped cookie cutter. You can buy that, but I just took a round cookie cutter and I kind of squeezed it on each side to make that kind of that H shape.
Yep.
And that was very easy to do. And then you're basically making a pretty basic peanut butter cookie with a nice creamy sugar-infused, powdered sugar-infused creamy center. And those, I have to tell you, not only are they delicious, but people really do feel that is a real authentic flavor to it. They tend to be a little on the bigger side than the commercial ones. And some people have said, I don't know if this is true or not, that the commercial ones shrunk a little over the years. But they're very evocative, that recipe.
I would like to try that. And you, I know that you mentioned, like, if you want to do the Girl Scout cookie, I mean, how hard is it to get a thin mint to be that thin?
You know, I have three Girl Scout cookies simulations in there, and the thin mint is actually the easiest one. It doesn't have that many ingredients. You're just using a round cookie cutter. I even use a juice glass. That really is all about how thin you roll your dough. You just have to make sure that your dough is, you know, rolled out. Now, at one point I made a batch and someone said to me, these aren't thin mints, these are thick mints. Because I didn't in fact roll them out thin enough, but the taste was so delicious. You know, they had that, people sort of didn't mind them at that size. You know, that's, I would say, about making these homemade treats from your childhood, but I would say this about baking anything. You're not going to look like a commercial bakery. You're not going to look like a packaged snack food. Necessarily. Sometimes you can get really close. Sometimes if you're, you know, you can, it does look exactly the same, but some of them are not going to be the same. It'll be a little bit misshapen. But what people are responding to is not how they look. They're responding to the flavors. That's what evokes the memories. That's what's exciting to people. And that's obviously what's pleasurable, is having that chocolate melting in your mouth and that wonderful salty, peanutty flavor, whether you're talking about Cracker Jacks or the Nutter Butter. So you don't have to feel badly when you make anything in life, even a birthday cake, anything, if it doesn't look exactly perfectly, as long as you've got your flavors down.
Yeah, I agree. Nikita writes on Facebook, my favorite snack was Star Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the South. I'm not sure if that was regional or not. I've never heard of Star Crunch, but you have, Jennifer?
Well, it was a similar thing. I'd never heard of Star Crunch. Someone just like that reached out to me and talked about Star Crunch, and I'd made Star Crunch. I had a hard time finding testers who had known Star Crunch. Star Crunch is so easy. It's sort of almost like a newfangled sort of chocolate version of a Rice Krispie treat.
Mm.
I made it for a dinner party. People did not recognize it. I made it for a dinner party in New York City, and no one had ever seen it, but they really enjoyed it. And I think the Star Crunch homemade, it's fun if you use a little bit of a high-quality chocolate. That was really appealing to an adult palate. And not that kids don't like it. Of course, they do, too. But it's absolutely simple.
We are talking about some of our favorite snacks and treats from our childhood, ones that we would still eat today. Ho-Hos, Thin Mints, talked about Funyuns and Fritos. We'll talk when we get back about some ice cream treats. Boy, I can remember. How about the orange creamsicle? That's a favorite. What about you? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What are some of your favorite childhood treats or snacks, sweet or savory? Are there any that you would love to try again today? Try to make yourself. Let us know. We are talking with Jennifer Steinhauer. She is a New York Times reporter, writer of the Weeknights with Jenny column at Food 52, and author of Treat Yourself, 70 Classic Snacks You Loved as a Kid and Still Love Today. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Jennifer Steinhauer. She is the author of Treat Yourself, which tells you how to make a lot of classic snacks that you loved as a kid. We are talking about some of our favorite snacks, and we have Nathaniel on Facebook who writes, "There is a hard-to-find type of ice cream cone that I would still eat right now. It was called a crunch cone. It has bits of toffee and Jimmy's and Rice Krispies. I remember the crunch cone. I mean, I can picture it. Can't you, Jennifer?
I can. I'm trying to remember if I remember it from the ice cream truck, from the Good Humor truck, or if I remember that from the grocery store. I do have a memory of that. The closest thing that we have in the book is the Nutty Buddy,
yeah,
which is the ice cream cone with a little bit of chocolate in the bottom and then the ice cream rolled in chocolate with nuts. But I know what he's talking about because it has that little rice, that kind of Rice Krispie crunch to it.
Yeah. You do have, don't you have an orange creamsicle or dreamsicle in the book?
I do. You make that with orange juice. Again, that's another example. You can use fresh squeezed orange juice, or you can go ahead and just get the grocery store kind of orange juice, and you're freezing that up and kind of recreating that yummy sort of vanilla slash orange flavor that you remember from the Good Humor truck.
Yeah. Do you have it where you can push it up? Remember those? They're called push-ups, too?
I do. You know, it's funny. I experimented with the push-up, and I realized that it was easier just to make them more as a popsicle type item, because I really did want to bridge the gap with some of these recipes where I want people to be able to do it. You know, I don't want anyone to feel intimidated. Well, I can't get a push-up cone, or I can't get it to push through. So I'm going to get that flavor, and I'm going to get that the shape, but I'm just going to do it in a popsicle form.
Let's go to another caller, Ron, in Gunflint Trail. Ron, I don't know where Gunflint Trail is.
Okay, it's about, it starts in Grand Marais, Minnesota, on the northern shore of Lake Superior, and it's in the Boundary Waters, a canoeing area.
Beautiful area. Well, thanks for calling. What is your treat that you'd like to talk about?
Yes, it's the cream horn. It's like a pilo dough, and it's closed like on one end, and on the other end is where you squeeze in the cream in it, but you just can't get the cream right. The recipes on the internet are saying like using heavy whipped cream, but it just doesn't, it's not there.
You know what I would suggest? I would suggest you try that with some marshmallow fluff.
Yeah, maybe, okay.
That might give you a little better consistency.
Add sugar, some little cream to that or something? Or
yes, exactly. I would go, I have some recipes for that in my book to fill some of my filled treats, or you can go ahead and Google it. I would do vanilla cream with marshmallow fluff and see if you can get something closer to what you remember.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Ron, tell us about the cream horn, though. Is that something that you just loved as a kid?
Yeah. I mean, over here where I'm at, it's, you know, like we're 70 miles to the nearest little town, and then it's like we're like 170 miles to Duluth. And that's about the only place we can get them is over there. So I don't get them very often.
But therefore, make them yourself. Well, way to go. Thank you very much for calling. We'll go next to Jim in Fort Atkinson. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Joy. I remember a thing by Hostess that I think disappeared even when the things originally disappeared. And it's not been around for a while. It's called Snowballs. They came in pink.
Oh, yeah.
And Why, I don't see them anymore.
I think you have those in the book, don't you, Jennifer?
I have my version of the snowballs. They're absolutely delicious. It's funny, I do see them sometimes. I see them in a gas station, although I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure the ones I see now are Hostess or they're another brand that did their knockoff of that, although I think I've seen the snowball. But you're talking about kind of, for all intents and purposes, a white cake rolled in coconut. I think they had chocolate versions, too. And they were not really a sponge cake the way the Twinkie was, but much more like a snack cake, like a white cake or a chocolate birthday cake type consistency, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And that was coconut that it was rolled in.
They were, and the pink ones were bright, bright pink. Remember, they almost kind of looked like bubble bath or something, or bubble gum. They're that really crazy not from nature pink.
Yeah, all right. And so they probably are here or there. But yeah, I do remember the snowball. I like the snowball. Let's go to Sarah in Shorewood. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. I'm just calling with a question about whether you did any work with fruit-flavored snacks. So as a millennial, I'm thinking of fruit by the foot, fruit roll-ups, and especially Gushers were the big one when I was a kid.
Yes, I have fruit roll-ups. Which, in a funny way, the most natural snack, because you can do that with fresh fruit. Now, it's funny, you say that as a millennial, you remember that, probably maybe your mom put that in your lunch. But, you know, even in the 70s, there were versions of that in health food stores. That was sort of the health food version of candy. And,
okay.
You make that in the oven at a very low temperature, and it's really fun to peel it off of there. I have that. I also have something that, again, was not my generation, but was more yours, which are the fruit gummies.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and we have a couple versions of that. And I will also say, if you're as an adult, you can make them with alcohol too, and make
that's interesting. Well, you know, I've seen some stories on the gummies, in terms of really full of strange chemicals. I presume you do not add those to your recipe, Jennifer.
I don't. Mm. I'm not going to present those again as the most healthy treat in the world. But they have a lot of cornstarch and so forth in them, which actually is not even that bad. It's just not, there's probably basically zero nutritional value in that particular snack, but they're, again, really fun to make. It's kind of like similar to making Jell-O.
Thanks, Sarah. Time for Susan's email. My gateway drug was the humble circus peanut. Who knows what that was made of, but I loved its clunky peanut shape, orange color, and soft texture. I admit I still give them a pinch on the rare occasions when I pass them in a supermarket. I can tell when they are ripe for eating and when it's best to keep on walking. That's hilarious. The circus peanut, I don't recall seeing that one, Jennifer, in your book.
I don't have that one. That's probably made with a lot of just corn syrup is my guess. And I know exactly what she's talking about with the pinch, because my grandmother would have them in the basement, and when they get too old, they don't resist. You know, they're just getting that kind of that hard. You know what they're basically? They're basically a marshmallow.
Yeah, that's right. And we have just 30 seconds to go. Have you made every snack you want to make, or are you still experimenting?
I'm still experimenting, but I think, you know, maybe next I'll move on to meatloaf.
Meatloaf and comfort foods. All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Steinhauer, writer of Weeknights with Jenny, the column at Food 52. She is also the author of Treat Yourself, 70 Classic Snacks You Loved as a Kid and Still Love Today. Thanks to Robin Cherry and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.